dawn is breaking, the stormy night, the battle is raging in ruthless plight. Soldiers giving their life for a lie, defenders of freedom and right. Bravely they watch as the blazing skies give proof through the first gleam of morning light. For yonder still waving their symbol of pride, oh glory, the stars and the stripes. Oh glory still stands for a country free, its beauty held high for the world to see, to freedom, justice, and liberty. It's the stars and the stripes forever. From the halls of Pilate, they loudly cried, we find him guilty, crucify, crucify. They mock him, they crown him, they pierced his precious side. Love carries what should have been mine. The sun is darkened, heaven cries, the nails have been driven, the Savior has died. Jesus has given his life for my life. I'm free by his scars and his stripes. Oh, glory and praise, I have been set free by the blood of the Lamb on Calvary. There's mercy, freedom, and victory in the scars and the stripes forever. There's mercy, freedom, and victory in the scars and the stripes forever.
Thank you, trio. That was a blessing. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Well, it's been a good day, and my wife celebrated this afternoon with a good long nap, so she's happy this evening. Let me take a little poll. How many of you barbecued or grilled something this afternoon? Raise your hand. One, two, three, four. Okay. How many of you went out to eat today? Raise your hand. All right. Yeah. How many of you had leftovers today? Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. So how many of you didn't have anything because you're so poor? We have one liar in our congregation, and I expect her to be at the altar tonight. Oh, goodness. Well, our judges are almost all back. We see one that's still missing. So I don't know if she's sick or she's tarrying long at the cobbler table. But nevertheless, we have at the end of our service pie and cobbler that has already been judged, and we'll award ribbons after the service. But we want to invite everyone to be sure and go across with us after the service and enjoy the pie and cobbler. And others brought things. You know, my wife, she has forgotten how to bake. She's almost forgotten how to cook. How many meals did you cook this week, honey? Three. I think you said you cooked three this week. And boy, she really was long-suffering at it this week. That supper, she gets up and cooks breakfast every morning. I'm talking about eggs and bacon and sausage. Okay? Yeah. And I hadn't broke a foot. Brother Lowe, I asked Brother Lowe if he's taking care of his wife. She fell last week and broke her ankle. And I asked him if he was taking care of her, helping her. He said, I'm cooking breakfast, dinner, supper. I'm cleaning the house. I'm washing the clothes. And Gail Shattuck said, if Mrs. Lowe doesn't make it, I'll take him. I'd hide up in the balcony too, Mrs. Shattucks. I'd hide up in the balcony. I hated to hear him say all of those things publicly and my wife hear it. It's kind of like the old rooster walking across the field where a man kept his ostriches. And he came across an ostrich egg. He stopped and backed up and stuck out his wings and looked at that egg, and he walked around it and looked at it, and he started rolling it. Rolled it all the way back to the hen house. Rolled it inside of the hen house and said, "Now, ladies, give me your attention. I'm not complaining, but I just want to show you the possibilities." And I hate for my wife to hear about those possibilities. Oh, goodness. I hope you've had a wonderful day. We are blessed to be born in America. How many of you are here tonight and you were not born in America? Would you stand up, please? You're here and you were not born in America. Now, all that are illegal, be seated. No, I'm just... Oh, goodness. You know, thank you. You can be seated. Let us never forget that America was built with legal immigration. I'm for immigration, legal immigration. I'm not for people trying to steal away what America has fought for, worked for, and has made possible for the citizens. And I'm for people from other countries coming to America and beginning the process of citizenship. We have some children in America today that are not citizens, and if they applied for citizenship, they'd be sent back simply because they were brought over by parents when they came over illegally. And it's tough on them. And our heart goes out to them. But thank God for America. And for those of us who have come from various parts of the world to make up the citizenship of our nation. I ask you to stand with me as we begin to read from Psalm chapter 11. I want you to look right over here. This young couple from Hot Springs, raise your hand so everybody up high, so everybody can see you. Ma'am, are you standing? Okay. This young couple from Hot Springs, Arkansas, are here in Arlington on their honeymoon. When did you get married? Friday night. Where's Stephen Lemon? I just want to show him the possibilities. But we are blessed by your presence. Thank you, and we pray God's richest blessings on your marriage and your future. God bless you for being here. The Bible says in Psalm 11, verse number 1, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain?" David was having some problems. He said, "For lo, the wicked bend their bows. They make ready their arrows upon the string. They may privily shoot at the upright in heart." Then he said in verse number 3, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Just as David was facing problems in his country and his nation, every country and every nation has enemies. We face enemies. Our greatest danger is not military attack. America would rise up as it has in years past and stand against the oppressors. Our greatest danger is an attack from within on the foundations that uphold our great nation. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Father, help me tonight as I bring this message to be a blessing and a challenge to our people. Help the message that it might resonate in our hearts. It might bring conviction to the areas of our Christian life where we're slack and are allowing the foundation to be eroded by the enemies of all that stands for God. Now, Lord, I need your help. Fill me with thy spirit. Speak through me tonight. Give me liberty to preach. And let me preach in such a way that your name and your word and your work might be blessed and exalted. We'll thank you for what you shall do in our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. Again, David said, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" David is giving counsel here concerning the situation of their day. David makes three important statements that I want to point out by way of introduction. First of all, in verse number 1, he declares his faith and trust in God regardless of the circumstances. Regardless of the enemies that are coming against him or his country, he declares his trust in the Lord. "In the Lord put I my trust." Some are saying, "David, run. David, give up. David, quit. David, you can't do anything about it. Run, flee as a bird to the mountain." But David said, "No, in the Lord put I my trust." The second thing I see David stating is in verse number 2, he sets forth the situation that they were faced with at that time. The enemies were attacking the very foundations of their faith and their way of life. The attack was so so imminent and so real. He said, the enemy's got the arrow and the bow, and it's already drawn back. I wish I could make you understand tonight that Satan already has his blueprints made for the destruction of America. You do know America is one of the last bastions that's holding back Satan's free movement on this earth. America is one of the last bastions of missionary endeavor in the world today. And I want you to know, old Satan's men, his armies are lined up with their arrows already in the bow and pulled back, just waiting to let her fly. He's attacking. They're attacking the very foundations of the faith and our way of life here in America. The third thing that David said that's so important, he asked a heart-rending question. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Everything that we hold dear as American and as a Christian is built upon certain foundations. The foundation is the base. It's the root. It's the part of the building that upholds everything else that's built upon. The superstructure of America sets on basic foundations. Satan's not shooting at the top floor. He's shooting at the foundations. Because if the foundations are destroyed, the superstructure will also crumble. On this July 4th, it would do us good as Christians and as citizens of the United States of America to consider the stirring question asked by David approximately 3,000 years ago. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Notice, first of all, that David did not point to only one foundation. He didn't say, if the foundation. I'm glad to tell you that there are foundations that are holding up our way of life as citizens and Christians here in America. More than one. And he's shooting at the foundations. He's got his blockbuster bombs aimed at the foundations. He's got his smart missiles, his laser-guided missiles honed in to the foundation. He's not interested in a little structural damage to the building. He wants the whole thing to crumble. As much as we love America today, most of the world hates America. They tolerate us because America has been so generous and caring down through the years. There wouldn't be a France. Someone said all Frenchmen are born hands first. They're always giving up, surrendering. Shouldn't have said that. This goes to France. They don't love us like we might think they love us. Neither does England. Just go around the world and see how many nations, national governments are in love with us. They tolerate us because we've given and given and helped. And we ought to. When a foundation is destroyed, the superstructure will fall apart and collapse. David didn't have in mind a simple building when he made this statement. I think this message was not only meant for David's day, I think it was meant for believers in our day as well. The principle is still true. I've never seen our nation or our way of life or our faith in greater danger of being destroyed during the 71 years of my life as I see it in 2010. The foundations that support and uphold our very faith, the foundation that upholds our government, the foundations that uphold our free enterprise system, the foundation that upholds our freedom and liberty are all under attack and have been under attack for some time now. And the greatest danger is coming from within our own nation. And most of us have enjoyed the giveaways and we've ignored the danger. We've ignored it to the point that God has allowed a Congress, a Senate, and a president to be elected who are doing as much to destroy our country as any of our enemies. I say again, as I've said before, we have the Congress and the Senate and the president we deserve. They may not be the ones we wanted, but they're the ones we've deserved because of our lack of obedience and faith to the very principles of God's Word. The lack of diligence in our day. The American way of life, our Christian heritage, our structure of marriage and a biblical home, our very morals, our Bible, as well as our Constitution, are all under attack today. Yes, we have enemies in foreign countries who would love to see America fall. But I want to say again, our greatest enemies and the greatest danger of attacks are coming right here from our own shores, inside the boundaries of our own nation. For several years now, the attacks have been against the foundations that uphold our nation. The foundations upon which our very faith rests. The entire way of life in America and as Christians is under attack. If America falls, it'll fall because of the attacks from our enemies within our own nation and within our own government. I'm not nearly so concerned about the so-called ring of Russian spies, they call it, as I am, the people in the Congress and the Senate that are putting America in so much debt. The president and his cohorts, his gang of thugs, they call his cabinet, don't have the good of America and the American way of life. They have no idea of Christianity upon which America was founded. They have no idea of a constitutional nation. They're just doing what they think will get them the next vote. There's a great move on today to change our American history. There's a great move on today to discredit our heroes. There's a great move on to change our Bible. There's a great move on today by people in high places of authority that says our U.S. Constitution is old and outdated and needs to be updated. That's right here in America. There's a move in America to change America from a democratic republic with a free capitalistic market system of business to a socialist state. where the supreme official is not an elected president, but a king or a dictator. And sometimes with all of the presidential orders of the last two we've had, it seems like they think they already are a dictator or a king. They have the idea that they are there, they are the government. But the government is we the people, they are elected to represent us. And very fundamental basic principles that have made our nation great down through the years have been eroded by these people with their egos. And we've sat back and sucked our thumb. They're attacking the foundations that have determined and upheld the honest Christian life and walk here in America. My message is very simple tonight. I am disheartened at our country, not because of what she has been, but of what people want to make her to become. I want you to consider some foundations we must be concerned about today if we're to remain free America and have the liberty to worship and obey the God of our fathers. May I say, first of all, the Bible is the foundational book for all Christian doctrine and practice. Christ is the focal point of the Bible. Now, you cannot ignore American history. You can't ignore it. You've got to change it if you want to get rid of the Bible. My soul, there's more scripture and Bible references carved in marble in our capital and in Philadelphia and other places in our nation that lets us know that, hey, this country was founded upon the Word of God and founded by Christians. And as a Christian, it was never founded by just a bunch of theists. That's what they'd like you to believe. That's the way they want to change history. But America was founded by people who believed in God and the Christ of God. And the Bible of God. And this is a Jesus book. The thing that has made America great is the Christ of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the one who we've trusted with our faith and our soul and has promised to forgive our sin. It's no accident that the Scriptures are under attack today. That's one of the foundations. That's the foundational book. Well, without the Bible, we wouldn't even know that we're saved. We wouldn't know how to be saved or how to get saved. We wouldn't know for sure that we are saved because salvation is not feeling. It's by faith. These things have I written unto you that believe that you may know you have eternal life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. No wonder the Bible's under attack. Old devil's smart enough to know he's not trying to get rid of the Bible. He's just trying to water it down. Change its teachings, its meanings. Without the Bible, we don't know how or what to believe or how to worship in order to please God. I think a lot of going on in our churches today are going on in spite of the Bible. We have moved from pleasing God to pleasing flesh. We have moved from being led of the Spirit according to the Word of God to being led by the flesh to please man. The Bible's under attack. Bible teaches us how to worship, and it teaches us what to do to please God, and even tells us the kind of music we're to worship with. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Without the Bible, we don't know how to please God or how to gain His favor and blessings on our life, on our marriage, or our family. I can't ever remember living in a home that did not know Christ. Mom and Dad got saved when I was 5 years old. I remember it. But I don't remember a lot of how life was before they got saved. But what has indelibly marked my mind is how life was after Jesus Christ. What a difference Jesus has made. And I can't imagine what it would be like to live my life only moved by the flesh, without any guidance from God or control of the Spirit or direction from the Word of God. We don't know how to please God without the Bible. We don't know what pleases Him. We don't know how to gain His favor. I want His favor. I want His blessings. I want it on my life and I want it on my family. I can't have it if I don't know what He says is His will. Without the Bible, Christianity just becomes another world religion. No certainty, no promise, no peace. Without the Bible, just another world religion. See, it's the Bible that gives us certainty. It's the Bible that gives us guidance. It's the Bible that gives us assurance. It's assurance. It's the Bible that gives us faith and more faith. America's greatness in years past has been her faith and dedication to the God of the Bible. America's churches and our Bible-based belief of God and His moral law as well as His divine principles have set us apart from most of the known world. If the foundation book be destroyed, we become just another atheistic country in a world going to hell. Not only is the Bible under attack, but the main person of the Bible is under attack. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, Savior of sinful man. He's been outlawed by government. Outlawed in our schools. I'm sad to say, forsaken by many of our churches. I wonder how many churches today had church to honor Him and glorify Him, or was it their program about what pleased the people or what pleased God? I wonder if Christ was the focal point of church across America today. He's under attack. He's hated in our schools. He's not welcome in our cities. City governments. Oh, pastor, would you come and pray, but don't use Jesus' name. Well, that eliminates me. I was asked to pray at the Dallas Tarrant County meeting of Chamber of Commerce. Big crowd sitting there at the head table with mayor and councilman and the spiritual giant Dale Hansen. He must have known God because he talked a lot about Him. I'm being facetious. They asked me to pray, and I said, I want to ask one question. Can I pray what I want to pray? Yes. I said, let me ask the second question. Can I pray in Jesus' name? They said, yes. And I did. You know, that's not the most popular thing. But some people came by and said, thank you. thank you. It wasn't Dale. Christ is under attack tonight. Our nation is trying to outlaw him from our country. It's a sad shame when Madonna is more popular in our nation than Jesus. Or what's the homosexual from England they're always inviting over to play the piano and sing? What's his name? Elton, I knew some of you'd know. You know, he's more popular in Washington than Jesus Christ is. And you know why he's under attack? Because he's the foundation of the home. It's Christ that holds the home together. Ours is a blessed home, a blessed marriage, a blessed family when Christ is in the place of preeminence in all things. In order to discredit the home and to discredit biblical marriage and the family and the Bible, or the Bible and Christ must be discarded. When the Bible and Christ are discarded, then same-sex marriage becomes acceptable. Divorce becomes rampant. Our children grow up without the benefit of faith, character, a good work ethic, discipline, or morals. Christ is the foundation of the home. Let me say also, Christ is the foundation of the church. It's no wonder that Christ is under attack and the Bible is under attack. Scripture tells us that Christ is the foundation, He's the head, and the chief cornerstone of the church. That's pretty important, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Colossians 1:18, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Ephesians 2:20 says, "And we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstones." If the foundation of the church is destroyed, then we'll lose the way of salvation. If we lose it here, what will our children do? What will our grandchildren do? You say, "I'm saved." Yeah, and that's been the problem. We've been looking only to our benefit. We've been thinking only about us. That's the reason our national debt is $13 trillion and climbing. We don't think about who's got to pay for it. My daddy didn't leave me that kind of debt. And those elected in his day did not leave us that kind of debt. But what fools we are. Just another stimulus. Give it out. Where are you going to get? Oh, print more money. Our president and our Congress and our Senate does not get the basic fundamental principle of economics. If your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall. And that's where we are. That's where we are in America. If the foundation of the church is destroyed, we lose the way of salvation. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, what are they going to do? If the foundation of the church is destroyed, we'll cease to care about lost souls. It is the church that's been given the Great Commission. It's the church that's been empowered and commissioned to carry the gospel around the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why, if the church foundation of the church is destroyed, world missions will cease. And we will do like many have already done. We'll turn our interest to self an inward self instead of upward and outward to others. And I'm sad to tell you that some in churches are already there, and some in this church are already there. It's just me and my four and no more. They're the most precious things in my life. That's all I'm living for, what I want, what I can get, what I can do. Christ is the foundation of our nation and national government. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Jehovah! That's Jesus! The law that governs our nation, the laws that govern our nation are based upon the moral law of God, known as nature's law or common law. That's the reason Satan and his followers hate the Ten Commandments so much. It's God's moral law. And by the way, our nation was established not as a religious nation, but as a Christian nation. When I was a boy, the statement was, worship Christ in the church of your choice. Now it's worship the God of your choice. That wasn't the way America was established. It wasn't established by a bunch of Muslims and a bunch of Buddhists and atheists. It was established by Christians. You read the Constitution. You read the Bill of Rights. It's no accident God is mentioned again and again. Our nation was established as a Christian nation, and we cannot have a Christian nation without Christ. That's the reason he's being attacked. America was never established as a nation where you can worship the God of your choice, Jehovah, Allah, or the millions of gods associated with Buddhism and Hinduism. America was established without a state church. And by the way, you know who you can thank for America not having a state church? Baptist. In the early days of American history, read real American history and you'll find that it was Baptist that opposed a state church. They were going to establish two state churches, one of which would have been Baptist. And Baptist said, absolutely not, because it violates one of the very Baptist distinctives. America was established as a nation where you can worship God and His Christ in the church of your choice. America didn't say you've all got to be Baptist. America was established as a Christian nation, and if you take Christ out of Christian, you don't have Christian. That was profound, wasn't it? Because of our selfish, carnal nature, we've been so busy indulging ourselves in our sinful pleasure, the devil has slipped in unawares and has almost destroyed our foundations. If there's not a return and a new commitment to God and the Bible and to the Christ of the Bible, our nation and our way of life will crumble. I mean, there's a move on in America for judges to judge people in the Islamic community by their Sharia law. That's disgraceful. This is America. U.S. will remain a nation, but not as it was established unless we come back to the place where we as individuals commit ourselves to the God of the Bible and to the Bible of God and His Christ. The greatness of America is not our government, our free enterprise system. The greatness of America, it was said by someone who came to America to look for her greatness. He said, it's found in her churches. But that was the day when churches worshiped God and believed the Bible. Jesus asked a question we should ask of America. In Luke 18, he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let me take the liberty and ask you that question. Will he find faith in America? Will he find faith in your home? Will he find faith in your church? Will he find faith in your own heart? Will he find faith in our children and our grandchildren? Satan's attacking the foundations that make it possible for our American way of life and our freedom to worship. He's attacking the foundations upon which our faith and our worship are built. This is Independence Day, July 4th, the birthday, official birthday of America. I would to God that there would be a revival breakout and a coming back to God and the Word of God so that July 4th would no longer be remembered just as Independence Day, but as coming back day, revival day, when America comes back and stands again on the foundations that have made America great. How's the foundation of your home, of your faith, and of your walk with God? If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Nothing except cry and moan. And remember what it used to be like and what it could have been. If we'd have lived for something other than ourselves. If we'd have lived for Him. And by this book. Father, thank You for America and thank You for fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers that have stood faithful upon our Constitution, upon the Word of God, upon our local church. Thank You that Christ in days past was not an outlaw, but a welcome guest at church and a welcome guest in our government and a welcome guest in our schools and in our home. Oh, how I love America. And I'd love for my children's children's children to be able, if You tarry Your coming, to have a good old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist church to attend. I'd love for them to live in America where they're not in bondage because of government. They'd have an opportunity to see their dreams based in the will of God and the Word of God to come true. Oh God, speak to our hearts. And let us realize that the greater changes does not take place at the ballot box. The greater changes takes place first in our own heart and our own life and our own walk with God. Would You help us to be honest about who we are and where we are in our relationship to You and the Bible? Help us to fall on our face as we come back to God and to His Word and to His will. Would You bless our homes I pray you'd bless the new home that's going to be established this next Saturday when Stephen and Elizabeth are married. Bless this new home that was established this last Friday when this young couple was married. God, may they have a great America to live in and raise their families in and to worship in and serve you in. Help us not to take our freedom for granted. Help us to realize that it's every one of our responsibility to guard the foundation. The foundations upon which we're built. Thank you for wisdom of men of years past who laid the foundation for our nation, and deliver us from fools today that would like to see it destroyed. We ask these things in Jesus' name.